Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Yay! I'm glad we're all here to talk thrift. It's been a pretty fun week for thrift, so I'm really into it today. I'm excited to tell you all the things. That song you hear playing in the background is, of course, a song by Journey, famous band from the 80s, and this is off of their 8th album called Frontiers. The song is called Separate Ways. Many of you know it, many of you love it, many of you hate it, but if you're a fan of the 80s, you've got to love Journey, because I can't think of any other band that is more commonly associated with the 80s, especially the early 80s, than Journey. Maybe Duran Duran, but yeah, Journey, it's got to be Journey. I like this song. I don't think I liked it very much when it was new. I mean, I was about 13 when this song came out. And I think I liked Journey then, but not long after, probably like 2 years later, I was like, ugh, Journey, gross, that's for losers. Right, because I had discovered that I really needed to be listening to, things more like Depeche Mode, The Cure. I was just feeling a little more blue than Journey could capture for me, I suppose. But I don't have any Cure records that I've thrifted in the wild, sad to say. And this record review is always about thrifted records. I did get this record for 99 cents, as almost always the case. Once in a while I'll pay up for a record, but not very often. And I think it's worth 99 cents for sure. I mean, it's a classic, right? It's got some pretty good song on. I think this particular record from Journey had 4 Billboard hits. You know, like, I guess we rank things. I was never really that into it. But I know it had a lot of hits that were ranking on the Billboard charts. So it's definitely one that you should have in your collection if you at all like to have references to the 80s around. I picked this particular song because my guest moved from New York to the Bay Area in California recently, and I was thinking, what songs from the 80s would be representative of East Coast, West Coast differences? And I don't know why, but this one seems to fit. It's because the subtitle is called Worlds Apart. Yeah, that makes sense. I have Abby Mills from Clothes and Pizza fame to talk with us today about her thrifting, her love of the 80s, her style of mixing vintage and modern, all the good things about having an Instagram husband to take pictures for her, and what it's like to thrift in the Bay Area. So stick around for that. Let me play you another song that was also really popular. I'm pretty sure this was a, you know, like a top 10 hit too. This song is called Faithfully, and it's more of a ballad, so you can kind of get a taste of their range. They have these like guitar rock, hair rock songs, like anthem rock kind of things, like Separate Ways, and then they have these love ballads like Faithfully. So it's a nice contrast.
Ride down the line, it's been you and me.
why. This is taking me back to my first boyfriend, hanging out in the grass, listening to the buzzing sound of Transformers, making out. Oh, and who could forget roller skating rinks? Like, for sure, this is a couple's roller skating rink song, no question. So I guess for nostalgia, you really can't go wrong grabbing any Journey record in the wild, but for sure get Frontiers. It's one of their more important albums. Well, I don't want to be the judge of what's their more important album, but I will say, if you find it in the thrifting wild, go ahead and grab it. It'll be well worth the money you pay into it if you have any memories of this time period, because it's kind of like a soundtrack for that era. At least for me, it really does remind me of my early teen years. I would give it 4 out of 5 Nagels, meaning it's not something I would probably, you know, do a happy dance if I found, but it's definitely something I would get kind of excited about enough to go, oh, cool, and pick it up and then want to listen to it when I get home just so I can have nostalgia. Not because the music's great, but because it brings back a lot of good memories. And I think if we're honest, as vintage shoppers and record collectors, probably a lot of the records that we end up taking home from the thrift shop are really about nostalgia. You know, of course, some of them are seminal records and we're happy to have those and we know that they're good collector's items and worth money. But what's a memory worth? Kind of a lot, right? So maybe I should give it 5 Nagels. Okay, I'll give it 5 Nagels. Go get yourself some Journey at the thrift store. And maybe go to a roller rink sometime soon, and definitely wear a vintage outfit if you do. And tag me in your post on Instagram or Facebook. So I am excited to tell you about my epic thrift haul with a good friend of mine. I had a thrifting buddy date and it was fun, you guys. So I will get into that. But first, let me do some listener updates. I want to thank everyone who went and subscribed to Thrift Therapy Podcast. I posted an Instagram awareness post about how important subscribers are to podcast rankings. Recently, I noticed a huge drop in my rankings. So I started doing a little investigating into what would make a podcast ranking plummet when there's not much of a change in subscribership or anything unusual had happened that I could think of in terms of listeners. So it would have to be some kind of technical issue, I would imagine. So my research revealed that the algorithms for rankings have changed periodically. Don't forget to subscribe, because subscriber numbers per week and written reviews on iTunes, they have to have new ones regularly, are the primary things that drive the rankings up besides download numbers. So if you haven't yet subscribed to your favorite podcast, including this one, wink, wink, go do so. It really helps. And a lot of people this week went and hit that subscribe button when I posted that on social media. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you have it in your heart to write a little review for the podcast, that seems to apparently help with exposure as well. And I just want to say that I actually really love getting the reviews, so it also warms my heart. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate all of you so much, and I'm having a great time interacting with all of you via the podcast and online. So, listener praise and appreciation. I will be taking a season break. This season is about to wrap. This is going to be the 11th episode of season 3. And next episode will be the 12th episode. And that is the cadence at which I think I'm going to stay, 12 episodes per season. So next episode, I'm super excited about. It's my 1-year anniversary and it wraps the season. I started this podcast last April, so it's been 1 year, and it has been pretty spectacular, the experience I've had. I just wanted to give you guys something special for the 1 year anniversary episode because it means so much to me. So we're going to have a little birthday party episode, and I invited some of my funniest guests back. And I also asked for nominations, and so these are the ones that I got. I appreciate them so much for joining me, and we did a kind of virtual roundtable discussion of what's happened since they've been on the podcast, what some of their favorite thrift scores have been since their podcast aired, and basically what some of their philosophies of thrifting are and the psychology they see in their own thrifting habits. And boy, was that a fun discussion. You guys are going to have a great time. I'm super excited. I can't wait to share it with you. I'm not yet sure how long my season break will be. I think it will be 1 month and then I will be back. So it would be off the month of May and then I should be back in June, which is my actual birthday. So that could be a fun birthday present for me as a big, awesome episode. My first guest of the next season is also going to be a humdinger. So I have really some good things planned for the listeners, and I'm super excited to keep this adventure going. If you have any suggestions for how the podcast could be better or platforms I should consider being on or events you think that I would be a good fit for, always feel free to email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com, or you can visit my website, thrifttherapypod.com. And you can just message me through there. I'm always looking to get some good listener ideas. And on that note, Jocelyn recently emailed me and suggested that I do a thrift clothes swap exchange for thrift baggers so they can exchange some of their goodies amongst each other. And I thought that was such a phenomenal idea. So I'm definitely going to set that up in the Facebook group, which is Thrift Therapy. Pretty easy to find. Search Thrift Therapy, like the page, join the group. And if you're a thrift bagger, go ahead and send me a private message and I will add you to the newly established thrift bag exchange event that I will create. So look forward to that every month as I will create an event every month so people can do a thrift exchange. And we will probably open that up to all the group members in the Thrift Therapy Facebook group periodically so that you can come in and get some of those goodies too. I love clothes swaps and I think a virtual clothes swap is a freaking fantastic idea. So thank you, Jocelyn, for that. All right, let's do some thrift hauls. So I have this friend, Stephanie. She was on an episode of Thrift Therapy in season one called Thrift Personalities with Stephanie. And she spent a few days with me this week. One of those days we went out thrifting. And let me tell you, we had a blast. It was kind of reminded me of back when I was in my mid to late 20s. And me and one of my besties were neighbors in a duplex. And our upstairs part of our duplex had shared balcony. We would just hop over in the morning and hang out, drink our coffee, and then go thrifting together. And we'd spend the whole day thrifting, laughing, being silly. It was so much fun. And we weren't under any pressure or time constraints like I often am when I go nowadays. But Stephanie and I had a slow, fun thrift that we just had the best time with. We giggled. We searched every item, every section of the thrift store, and we both spent about $130 each. So it was a massive thrift. Our buggies were full, and we finished at the same time. We did our own thing. We spent time together. It was pretty much perfect. And as a matter of fact, all the times that I've gone thrifting with Stephanie have been that way. We seem to have a very similar thrift style in terms of how we go through a thrift store. So we like to do our own thing. We split up immediately and then we reconvene after we've gone through the whole store and we do our try-ons and vetoes and critiques of all the items we have and gush about our favorite things. And then we usually give some stuff to each other like, oh my God, I saw this and got it for you. So that there was no exception. And this time with Stephanie, I found the most amazing vintage ivory double knit polyester, elongated collar, poofy sleeves with ruched cuffs, vintage blouse from the 70s that I really, really, really wanted to fit me. Now, you guys know I'm size positive, and so I don't spend a lot of time critiquing my body negatively or worrying about such things, but there are just some moments in thrifting where I really wish I had smaller boobs, especially. This blouse was pretty close to fitting, but you know, it was like 2 inches too small in the boobs. So I don't know if people just didn't have boobs in the 70s or what, but nonetheless, it fit Stephanie perfectly, and I was so excited that it did and that we were going to get to take it home with us. So that was really fun, and she found a couple things for me that ended up being really good, and I appreciate that. That day, we got so much stuff. I think I have some pictures I'll post on my website in the gallery section that show about 8 different dresses that I got, and all of them are super cool, but I do have 2 favorites. One is a kind of mustardy ochre yellow with big poofy 80s sleeves and white giant crochet appliques on the front of it. I mean, it's hideous, but when I put it on, it looks incredible. And so, of course, I got that. It was like $3 or $4. The other favorite thing I found was a Vietnamese dress that is just beautiful. It's so 80s. I can't even tell you. Maybe 70s, 80s. To, you know, like late 70s, early 80s. It's this gorgeous fuchsia color. It has a velvet graphic on it with all these abstract designs. It's an absolutely incredible áo dài, a kind of dress that is worn historically in Vietnamese culture for special occasions. And sometimes it even signifies like class designations or age designations. Well, let me say that whoever had this dress was like, in my opinion, super classy and the funnest age of all, because this dress is amazing. And while I'm leery of culturally appropriating it, it doesn't have a terribly strong vibe that says, don't wear me. And it's got a manufacturer's tag in it. So it's certainly meant for distribution. I am going to give it a shot and see how I feel in it, because it is one of the most gorgeous things I've ever seen, which I will also post a picture of on my website. Also, I wear them all on my Instagram page. So there you go. I will post a picture of Stephanie in her amazing blouse as well. But the coolest thing for sure that day was that we both ended up buying vintage wool hats. One of them is burgundy and one of them is like a peacock blue. And we took the cutest picture of ourselves in the car after our thrift haul. That was so fun because it was kind of like something we could take to continue the thrift throughout the day and made us feel, you know, just like BFFs forever. When we went to the grocery store, got stuck in the makeup aisle being very loud and silly, trying on all the lipstick and buying everything. So that was really, really fun day. Thank you, Stephanie, for being my thrift date and making my thrift even better. I hope you guys had some amazing thrift hauls this past week. If you did, be sure and go post them in the Facebook group. I love seeing videos or pictures or outfits of the day made from your thrift hauls. And, it just brightens my whole day. Thank you so much for sharing your thrift haul with me. Well, I think that brings me to the interview for today. So I want to introduce my guest. My guest is Abby Mills, as I mentioned. She is an Instagram phenomenon known as Clothes and Pizza. If you don't do thrift on Instagram, you're really missing out. Not only can you buy amazing vintage things, but you can follow people who have amazing thrift style, and Abby is one of those people. Not only is Abby an Instagram influencer in the thrift world, by day, she is a user-based designer living and working in the San Francisco Bay Area and loves wearing vintage clothes and mixing them with more modern pieces, both in her home. She's really into decor and on her body. Her style is really, really great. You can find Abby on her website, closeandpizza.com, and follow her on Instagram. As I mentioned, she's also on Facebook and Twitter. Her YouTube channel is really, really good. When I need some tutorials, I always check Abby's site first to see if she has any style tips when I'm trying to figure out how to tie a headscarf, for example, or style overalls. So be sure and follow her, check out her YouTube channel, and visit her website. Without further ado, here's Abby of Clothes and Pizza. Hey, Abby, welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Hey, Levy, it's so awesome to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited. I've been Insta-stalking you. I think that's what it's called. And you have the best style. So I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
So one of the things that I think about when I look at your style is you seem like a professional that is going to work every day. So when I read your bio online, it said that you're a user experience designer, a style influencer by night. Now, I know what a style influencer is, but what the hell is a user experience designer?
Well, I don't blame you at all for your confusion. It is kind of a vague job title, I will admit. But basically, I help make digital products better and easier to use from the user's perspective. So let's imagine you're trying to buy something online, or you're looking for a hotel, or trying to buy an airline ticket, and the process might feel really long, or maybe you're filling out a bunch of forms, or you know, all these checkboxes and buttons, and then you click the wrong button and you're kind of like back where you started and none of your information is saved. I can imagine that you've probably had that experience before. I know I have. And basically, it's my job to help mitigate frustrations and pain points in the process of getting something done online. So I work with digital strategists and data science, analytics, visual designers, researchers. I work directly with users, and I just try to help figure out how to make products super smooth and really easy to use.
Oh, that's good. Yes, I definitely had that experience. In fact, I know who really needs to hire you, and it's the marketplace insurance.
Oh, yes. .gov thing. I can imagine.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. So they really need you.
I feel like this happens a lot when like you're trying to do your taxes, or you're trying to fill out something that has to do with like a government website. I don't understand how this works. Like, I thought I hit this button, or it like spits you back out to where you want to pull your hair out. That's what I try to avoid and fix.
I like that. I'm glad that you exist. Now I know what a user experience designer is. And so the term that I saw was UX designer, and
yes.
I tried Googling that, and no, it wasn't helpful. You did a great job of explaining it to me. Thanks, Google. They did not. So I want to talk about the stuff that you do on the side. So you're on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you have a blog on your website.
Yes.
And you do all that under the brand Clothes and Pizza. So you've got to tell us a little bit about what made you want to do that and how you came up with your brand.
Yeah, so I have been or had been reading blogs for a very long time, probably since 2008, 2009, back when, you know, Tumblr was the place to be, but also people were starting to create their own websites. And I was really obsessed with style blogs. I kind of like inhaled them every day. I checked different blogs. And I really wanted to start one, but I felt like the barrier to entry was too high. I didn't really know how to go about doing it. I didn't have a camera. I didn't really know if I had time or a point of view. So fast forward about two and a half years ago, and I was just like, you know what? If I don't try to do this, I'm going to regret it. So I got a website first and an Instagram handle. I made sure that my name, you know, I had my name on both, and I came up with the name Clothes and Pizza just kind of on a whim. I knew that I wanted my blog to be about style, about fashion. I didn't think it was really going to be about pizza, but I wanted to have a name that was catchy, that wasn't my name, which is kind of ironic because now I'm actually thinking of switching to my name, which we can talk about later if you want. But I really wanted to create a name that was catchy, that people would remember. And I just thought about my two favorite things in life, which are clothes and pizza. And I saw that the username was available and I saw that the domain was available. So I created a website pretty quickly just based on WordPress and then started this Instagram account. And I was doing it kind of on the DL. Just me and my husband knew about it. He takes all my photos. So I was kind of like trying to build up some content on my site and then as well as Instagram before I even like told people in my real life circle about it. So that's been, that's like almost 2.5 years ago that I started. And then I started doing YouTube, maybe about a year after I started. Although this past year, 2018, 2019, I haven't done that much YouTube content, mainly because there was a lot of changes in my life. So I moved from New York to the Bay Area, started a new job, but I would really like to get back into creating more YouTube content because I really enjoy doing it. And I think that my audience also responds really well to it.
Yeah, the YouTube stuff, it seems like it's a lot more time consuming. When I started the podcast, I was thinking, a lot of people were saying, oh, that sounds like a thing that you would do on a visual media. I'm glad I didn't listen to them because it seems like you not only do you have to do what we're doing now, you have to talk and you have to think about what you want to say or, you know, be witty or something. You have to look good. So right now, yes. I'm in my PJs. I've got on a bathrobe and a moo-moo.
Me too. Yeah. And the interesting thing about YouTube and doing more of the, you know, still photography is when I do YouTube, I am fully in control. It's just me that is involved. But when I do the photography stuff, I either need a photographer or I need my husband. So I am kind of dependent on another person. So it's just kind of interesting there where, you know, when I'm doing the YouTube stuff, I can do it on any schedule. On my schedule, I'm fully in control, where I'm not otherwise. So it's just kind of another interesting thing there.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. I definitely see the quality of the pictures for people who have somebody taking their pictures. A lot of times it's just really good because you can go through so many different things. And so that makes sense that you need someone there doing it, going through a lot of different shots until you get one that's good. So I think that's
definitely
really cool that you pointed that out. I hadn't really thought about it that way because I always do mirror selfies because I'm just not going to go do that.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. And it makes, you know, it makes a really big difference when you're working with a professional photographer and really having their expert art direction and creative input. You know, 99% of the time I shoot with my husband, who's not a photographer by trade, and he, you know, he humors me with photography, but it's not his passion. So there are days that we are shooting and we're not, you know, vibing as well. And it's just, it's, you know, the photos don't come out as good when he is not as excited about it, because you really need to have that person on the other side of the lens who can see, you know, they're seeing what the photo is. I have no idea what they're seeing because I'm, you know, me. I'm not looking at the screen. So when he is, you know, on and in the zone and excited about a shoot that we're doing, the photos come out like 10 times as good because he is really thinking more creatively and we're collaborating better. So that's also, you know, give or take, can be fun or not fun.
That sounds funny. I'm a marriage and family therapist in my day job. And I'm just imagining the kind of squabbles you can have if one of you is in a grumpy mood.
Oh, they get really bad. Like, I've definitely stomped away and, you know, had a hissy fit like a 10-year-old.
Like, these pictures are...
But we've gotten better over the
years. You're like, these pictures are awful. You're not even trying.
Yes, exactly, actually.
Yeah, I can totally see it happening. That's so good. And that's one of the reasons I won't do it with my husband. I don't even ask because...
Yeah, that's
I don't
smart.
Want it.
That's smart.
We'll just get grumpy, and I'll be like, no, you're doing it the wrong angle.
Oh, for sure. And I what I try to do is like bribe him with a restaurant we're going to try or something. Like, hey, let's go do the shoot, and then we'll try this new barbecue place. Or, you know, sometimes it's like, we'll go out for Mexican food, or let's go eat pizza afterwards. So I try to like kind of slip it in there with an exciting thing that we can do afterwards.
That's awesome. I like that. I've got to try that. I did hear, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I definitely bookmarked it. And I saw that Bea Jones had done a tutorial on her YouTube channel because she takes all her own pictures. And I think, okay, maybe I should watch that.
Because yes, I've watched it. And I will tell you that it is super helpful. I don't know how she does it. It's amazing. I take a lot of like my own self-timer photos on my phone, but they are not good. I mean, especially compared to what she does. She's like on a whole other level. She should probably teach a class, right? On like how to set up, you know, because her photos look, I mean, they look editorial, you know, like she's on a whole other level. I should watch her stuff again and try to figure out how to do it on my own.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we should put like # inspired by Bea Jones tutorial on our
I'm totally down to do that. But what you were, asking a little bit about, kind of like what types of content that I try to do on my different platforms. Yeah. And with my YouTube, one of the things that I really like about video format is I am able to demystify a little bit of the process. So on my blog, you know, there's only so much I can do when I talk about how I'm putting something together. And oftentimes it just doesn't come across as well as when I'm doing it on video. So I do a series on Fridays called Get Dressed With Me, where it's in the morning and I'm getting ready for work and it's in my bedroom. And it's really just like how I go about putting an outfit together in the morning, how I think about it, you know, a little bit of how my brain works. And I try to do that, or I, you know, aim to do that on my YouTube channel as well. Because, you know, sometimes you see people, and this happens to me too, where I'll see a picture of someone or I'll see somebody on the street and they look incredible and I'm just really intimidated. And I'm like, I don't even know how they, you know, how do they even put that together? So I really try to kind of like break down the, you know, rules of fashion or like tips and tricks. And, you know, while I don't think that there are necessarily hard and fast rules to fashion or style, I think that there are guidelines or guardrails or, you know, things that you can keep in mind to try to make your outfit feel chic or make it feel modern. And I think that that's really important if you are the type of person that likes to wear vintage but doesn't want to look retro. I think that's another thing too, and like how to wear vintage, how to wear thrifted clothing, but still feel either on trend or feel really modern. So that is another thing on my YouTube that I try to talk about.
So that makes sense to me. I've noticed that different platforms provide a different way to reach people or to connect with people that are like you. And so I can see what you're doing on your different platforms. But what about Twitter?
So Twitter is something that I never use. I have a Twitter account. I have Clothes and Pizza. You know, when I started, I wanted to make sure that I owned those names on every platform. But it is not a social media avenue that I utilize at all. I think probably because what I do is such a highly visual medium. I've talked about this before, on other interviews, that where the writing part of blogging is the hardest part for me. So I really struggle with writing blog posts. I really struggle with trying to get across what I'm talking about via writing. So that's why I think video is better for me, and especially why I think Twitter would be terrible for me, is because I have like nothing witty and quippy and smart to say.
Ditto. And when I do, I don't ever think of putting it on Twitter. It's always like, oh, what should I say? Like, I feel like I have to put something on Twitter, but I do like some pictures and article sharing, and that's about all I can figure out. So I don't get Twitter either.
Yeah. I also feel like Twitter can be a little bit of a toxic place in terms of social media. Like, for me, Instagram is very positive. I've also like kind of curated this area of the internet, right? Where like I follow people that make me feel good. I follow people that inspire me. The community that I'm a part of and my audience is very positive. I almost never get negative messages or, you know, almost never get like trolls or weird messages. So that's a really positive place for me. But I feel like there is a lot of negativity and hate on Twitter, or there can be. So I kind of, I don't know. I just like, I'm like, that's the thing that I don't really use. I don't really go to that corner.
Well, I get it. I resonate with that. So it sounds to me like you're careful about who you follow and you have good interactions, especially on Instagram. But what do you think your brand message is overall for Clothes and Pizza?
So I think my message has kind of developed and evolved over time. I never, or maybe I just didn't know what it was going to be when I started out, but I really just try to help people by, you know, and help myself just have more fun with clothes, and feeling like when you look in the mirror, you see somebody that is happy and that makes you feel good and like the best version of yourself. And, you know, your outfit is the first impression that you have on the world, and being in control of whatever that impression is really powerful. And understanding that with whatever you put on your body, you then have the power and have the control to have other people perceive you how you want them to perceive you. And you know, whether you feel your best when you're in like all black, you know, feeling really chic, or if you feel your best when you're like pattern smashing like crazy, you know, it's like trying to figure out what makes you feel really good and what makes you feel like you're having fun when you get dressed.
So when I think about your style, I think of it as maybe eclectic, and that you mix some new things with vintage things. How does thrifting fit into your procurement of clothing?
Yeah. Part of my, I guess, brand message is mixing thrifted and vintage clothing with contemporary clothing. So I've been thrifting since I was in high school. I discovered thrifting back in high school when I, you know, as a way to dress in a really unique way on a budget. So I have never been, you know, a wallflower. I've always kind of enjoyed being in the spotlight, however, you know, consciously or subconsciously. But I really, you know, I liked to stand out. And I think I do that through my clothing. And I, you know, I did that then. I still do that now. And that's really the way that I express myself. And back in high school, you know, you don't really have a lot of disposable income. So the only way that I could really do that and try to set myself apart was by thrifting. I was like, wow, you can get all these beautiful, unique things for so little money. And I was really drawn to the vintage pieces. I wasn't all that into necessarily the secondhand stuff, but I was like, oh my God, look at all these incredible materials and fabrication and silhouettes. And I just was so drawn to the vintage pieces. And I love to figure out ways to incorporate that with, you know, my everyday, whatever I was wearing in high school, Abercrombie and Fitch bullshit. But I still do that. You know, I still wear thrifted pieces and vintage pieces with contemporary brands. I probably have a 50-50 wardrobe of thrifted, vintage, and contemporary. I thought about trying to do the 100% thrift thing for like sustainability reasons, but I really love to shop, you know, like I really love clothing. I really love supporting and finding new, you know, fabulous new brands. And especially with social media, it makes it really easy for me, at least, to, you know, find new brands and stay in the loop and, you know, find all these cool companies doing cool things.
I think definitely this year I saw an uptick in people trying to commit to a 90-10 or 100%. They should go for thrifting.
Wow.
As kind of like a New Year's resolution. And I was thinking about it, and I think I'm already there, but not, I think where I tend to mix, you know, Abby, is at home more in my home decor. I like kind of a balance because I don't want it to look like a movie set or something. Like, I don't want you to walk in and it feel like you've gone back in time. Like, I want it to feel current and inviting, but I also really like the vintage pieces that I have.
I think that's the way that you keep things modern, right? Is mixing vintage with modern pieces. And sometimes you can find vintage pieces that look modern, you know, but it's hard to do. And I think, you know, if you walk into a home and everything is antique, it just might make you feel like, again, like you said, you've traveled back in time or like you're on a movie set. And that does work for some people, but me personally, it just doesn't work for me. And, you know, while I love the unique vintage stuff, I also feel like for me, I have to mix in some modern pieces or I'll just feel like I'm looking a little bit too retro or a little bit too costumey.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the feeling I try to avoid, is a feeling of not being authentic. Mm-hmm. And so I need a little bit of present day. So even though most of my clothes are thrifted, I try to mix maybe modern thrift with vintage thrift. That's sort of, and I think that's what drew mm-hmm. your style is. It seems like you do the same, that you like contemporary,
totally
vintage. And so I think I would wear everything you wear if I were your age. You have really cute style.
What's keeping you from that?
I guess in part, I wore a lot of things that were a little more skin showing. And I'm feeling very comfortable right now being something. So a trend I really like right now is normcore and man repelling. Those are my favorite things. So
love it.
I don't want to wear anything very, I guess, sexy or really attractive. Like, I'm really into things that dudes don't like. So sometimes I'll Google things like top 10 things you should wear to get a man, and then just cross those off my list.
Fashion. I love that.
But other than that, I would definitely copy a lot of your stuff. I did recently get a pair of overalls, maybe. I thought they were vintage. They look vintage and they're kind of close to the body and they have a sort of bell leg, and just the wash on them looks vintage too. But I think they might be a vintage contemporary company, a contemporary company like Warby Parker or whatever that makes vintage inspired things. So cause when I looked them up, kind of a high price point. But I watched one of your tutorials on your YouTube channel where you styled overalls three ways. And I did wear one of your inspo suggestions. I wore it was kind of like a not really fitted, but sort of flowy tank top underneath the overalls. And I was like, okay, that I can do. Because you put I remember you were wearing a bandana in one of it, and I thought that was really cute. So, but I like the way you said it was like everything wasn't really tight. So,
yeah. And you kind of let the top like kind of like push out from the overalls. And I love that look, like a flowier top.
And it was flowy and it was cropped just right. So it kind of stuck. Sides. And I was cool. Like, there we go. I did it. Clothes and pizza forever.
That makes me feel so good.
You're changing my life. One thrift outfit at a time.
Yes, mission accomplished.
So what do you think? I mean, this is something that's interesting about you. You don't seem to do a lot of fads or trends, but you do have really good trend awareness. Like you sort of, you seem to be like maybe a trend setter rather than a trend follower. Does that make sense to you?
Totally makes sense. That's very flattering. Thank you. I definitely like to have a finger on the pulse of trends. I think that's what's really fun for me about fashion, is when things go in and out of trends, or in and out of style. You know, like trends are always coming back and going away, and you know, they're all cyclical. And you know, I'm anti-fad for fad's sake, right? Like, you never want to be or feel like you're chasing trends or feel like you're always like trying to try something to like look cool or because you think that it's going to be the cool thing. I think, you know, honing in on trends that really attract you, you know, and experimenting with style and kind of finding out what trends become timeless for you. You know, I've never had, while I appreciate classic and timeless style, like, you know, people who will look back at photos of themselves and not regret it. I've never been somebody that can do that. I'm always wanting to try something new, you know, like you said, eclectic. So I do embrace trends in terms of that. And, you know, I appreciate the discipline that it takes to have like a capsule wardrobe or to have like, this is my look. This is always going to be my look. I totally appreciate that and the dedication. I would never be able to do that. But I think I would just get really bored. I would never be able to have like a uniform or, you know, a classic look. I love thinking about new trends. I love, you know, guessing about what a trend might be and then kind of seeing it come to fruition.
Ooh, let's predict some trends. Let's do it. Okay.
Okay.
We can do
Let's
this.
Try.
Do okay. My thing right now is what I think is going to be next in menswear in particular is skinny pants that are just a little bit short and oversized, boxy, like 80s Wall Street blazers and skinny shirts.
Totally.
And
I love that.
Skinny ties.
I think that's good for menswear. I am really bad at menswear. I have never been good. My husband is much better. I mean, it makes sense because he's a dude. He is really good at menswear, or better than me at menswear, where he'll be like, I'm going to wear this. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. And then he's like, no, trust me. It'll look good. So I'm not good at predicting menswear fashion, but let me think. Women's wear. I mean, we know the 90s are coming back. I think the boxier silhouette is definitely coming back. You know, I think that we had these more fitted, tailored kind of blazers and silhouettes in the aughts. And I think that is leaving. So I think we're going to see a little bit more of a boxier shape, a little bit of a looser silhouette, which is really nice, especially in denim. I hate the like elastic jegging skinny jean trend. I'm so glad that we're starting to see some more like androgynous type shapes. So a little bit of a wider pant leg, like not all the way to like JNCO jean wide leg of the 90s, but I think, you know, coming off of, you know, everything is back to 90s now, but I think we're kind of seeing this, you know, 2000s, 90s, maybe mixed with a little bit of 70s in terms of like a pant leg, which I'm like so into. I'm excited that the waistlines are staying high. Like that low waistline never didn't do favors to anybody. So I want to keep those waistlines high, but the, you know, the wide leg.
I'm going to go for also wide legged, also loose fitting. But I'm going to say the next thing I want to see people wearing is a double pleated trouser with suspenders rolled up at the bottom.
Ooh.
Like white linen ones, right? Like from the 1940s or something, if you're going golfing or, right? Like, ooh. Can you see it? Yeah, I want
that. Sounds
it. That's
amazing.
What I want to see. So let's do baby doll tees with oversized, like 1940s double pleated trousers, suspenders.
Ooh, with a high waist, I would wear that outfit.
And what
for
do you
sure.
think? Oxfords with a bandana tied around the ankle? I'd be into it. So, and any other trends you can think of that you want to see on the street?
I mean, I've been talking about slime green for like a month. I'm just like so into this like limey, slimy green. I think that, I mean, it's already going to be big. You know, I don't think that I'm like calling that trend. I think, you know, other people have been doing it and I'm just like picking up on it. Like right piggybacking it. So I love the lime green color, really like any shades of green, even like sage. I think green is going to be so big coming for spring and summer. And then I think the, you know, reemergence of like 90s pastel colors, you know, like the baby pinks and the lavenders. I'm into all of that.
Okay.
For spring,
there's
summer.
Two trends I don't want to do, even though the 90s are back in town. I do not want to do chokers again.
Yeah, I can be. I
and
can agree
I
with you.
I do not want to do the big hair of the late 80s again. I've seen some runway shows that are trying to make me have giant hair. It's bad.
Oh, no.
That was bad. It was like the whole world was living in Dallas, Texas for like 2 years.
I mean, I just could never do that trend. I have very, very thin, fine hair. So I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to have the big giant hair. So I will avoid those, but I think we have a good. Like, we have
great.
Some good predictions for what's coming next. You mentioned that you recently moved from New York to California. Has that move changed your style at all or influenced how you dress?
Yes. Yes, it has influenced me so much. I definitely dress more casually than I did in New York. I think, you know, I wear more color than I did in New York, although I would say as a New Yorker, I probably wore a lot more color anyways than the average New Yorker, but I definitely wear more color. I wear a lot more casual stuff. So I would, you know, a typical outfit that I would wear to work in New York when I just like needed to throw something on would be like high waist black trousers, some kind of like patterned button down blouse, and some cool boots. And here, I don't think I've worn black trousers in the 4 months that I've been here, even once. People just dress much more casually here. And, you know, while I probably dress up more than anybody else, I think that would be like overdressed for me to wear. So I definitely dress more casually. I've for sure embraced more of the kind of like laid back California aesthetic. I actually just bought my first Patagonia fleece, which I am promising that I'm only going to wear on like outdoorsy, adventurous type things. And I am not just going to wear it with jeans.
Okay.
But yeah, I think, you know, I spent 10 years in New York. So my style as a New Yorker definitely changed from, you know, the early years that I was there to when I was leaving. You know, it was basically all of my 20s that I spent in New York. So I definitely, you know, as I grew up in life, I think my style definitely got more sophisticated, a little bit more mature. And now I, you know, I'm just translating that to like a little bit more of a laid back kind of style. But I think, you know, the weather here is so mild all the time. It's so nice that it's almost more exciting for me to get dressed every day. I don't have to worry about, you know, what jacket am I going to throw on? And is it, you know, is it going to rain? Am I going to get stuck in the rain? Is it going to be too cold? You know, or in the summer, is it going to be like way too hot and humid? You know, it's real, the spectrum of weather can be really restricting in New York. So I'm very excited, especially for spring summer here, where it's just going to be like, you know, 79 degrees and sunny all the time with not the crazy humidity of New York. And I've been having a lot more fun getting dressed because we have so much more space here. So I have a proper closet. Like, believe it or not, in our New York apartment, we didn't have any closets. So we basically have these like Home Depot clothing racks just like on the wall in our bedroom. And so we slept in my closet. I guess you could, you know, look at it that way. But it was just really hard to find all of my clothes. You know, I had half my wardrobe in, you know, storage under the bed, the other half, you know, in storage in the hallway but, you know, it was all dispersed all over our apartment and it was really hard for me to see everything. And I think part of being able to have a lot of creativity with your outfits is being able to see all of your stuff. So now we, in our house in California, I actually have a proper closet where I can see everything. And I'm really looking forward to getting dressed so much more every day. And I've started on Instagram. I take a photo of my outfit every single morning and I put it on stories and I save it to a highlight. And I've started doing that since I moved here because I'm really just having a lot more fun every single day.
Oh, that's really nice. It kind of infused your style with some new ideas and it's like some mood.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. What about thrifting there? How's the thrifting in the Bay Area?
The thrifting here is better than New York. So you can't really thrift in New York. Like there are some housing works and Goodwills in the city, but everything is so picked over and it's kind of overpriced. I basically never thrifted in New York. I did a lot of, you know, vintage shopping. There's great New York. So that is something that I'm very excited about living here is thrifting again. Although I think everything is really picked over here. So, you know, I go and find a couple of things when I go, but I really don't find like, I remember thrifting in high school here and it was just like jackpot all the time. Everything is super picked over in the Bay Area, which is a bummer.
Yeah, you probably just have to find your honeypot store, the one that puts stuff out like at the time that you can go. And I think that's what a honeypot is.
To figure out, you know,
the paths cross perfectly, the schedule of the thrift store and your thrift schedule. So you're the first person to see all the cool shit and you get it.
Yeah, I haven't quite like figured out what, you know, which stores are the best and what day to go and what time to go. But the good thing is there are a lot of thrift stores in the Bay. So a lot of different options.
I think I'll be out there next year. So I'm going to try to put together a little thrift adventure for myself.
That's awesome.
That's what my husband does. He doesn't take pictures of me, but he goes thrifting with me. So I really appreciate
it. That's rad.
I'll take it. So we're going to do like a little thriftcation, I guess. And I was thinking that something about that was just, I was just thinking about, oh, maybe you should do that like just one weekend. You can do like a thrift tour and just hit like a bunch of different stores and see which ones just sort of feel like, oh, this one probably is one I could come back to once or twice a week. And then you'll find your store.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I've been doing a lot of thrifting in the South Bay because that's where we live, but I should probably venture up the peninsula and up to the East Bay because I bet I can find some great stuff.
Yeah, it's just that finding that one that has the stuff you like and that,
yeah,
you know, because I think one of the reasons I like to thrift when I travel, and I don't know if that's something you do, but is I think that it's regional. I think each area, you know, you get sort of the vibes of what people wear in that area. So when I travel, I feel like I can be super eclectic if I travel and thrift because I'm going to get different looks from, you know, different areas of the country.
Yeah, I love to thrift when we travel. I wish we could travel and just thrift. I just have to do a whole like America and thrift everywhere.
That's it's like dream. 80 days around the world, but 80 thrifts around the world. I think I could do it if I were retired, but that's the only way. Maybe those are our retirement plans there. Okay.
I'm totally down.
So I want to ask you the thrift questions. And these are the questions that I ask everybody that comes on the show. And it helps us figure out like what sort of thrifter you are, like how much of an expert thrifter you are. Are you ready?
Ready. Cool. Cool.
So how often do you go?
At least once a week. I try to go more often, but I am a fast thrifter. So I pop in, you know, 30 minutes or less. I'm not very patient. I don't spend more than like 30, 40 minutes. I really like to get in and out, preferably like twice
a week. Mm-hmm. Do you have a list running or are you just spontaneous?
I always have a running list of things that I'm interested in. So it's usually, you know, either things that I think are trending or, you know, something seasonal. But it's when I go, it's usually spontaneous. So I usually don't plan like, oh, I know I'm going to go thrifting on Saturday. It's more just like, ah, I've got a couple hours to kill. Maybe I'll hit the thrift store. But I do have like a mental list of things that I'm looking for. However, I am totally, you know, once I'm in the store, I'm totally spontaneous and I will, you know, just grab something. If it grabs my attention, I will totally go for it.
Yeah. It's like, it speaks to you. It doesn't matter if you have a list or not.
Yes.
Totally. Do you have thrift gods?
Absolutely. So I'm not a religious person, but I definitely believe there is a thrifting higher power. You know, like when you see something like sticking out of the rack and it's like a print that you love and it fits you, it's your size. That's like divine intervention.
100%. Yeah. I'm an atheist with thrift God. So I don't know how that works, but
love
I don't care. It works for me. I get it. So do you go alone or with friends? You're super fast. So I'm going to guess alone.
Yes, you guessed correctly. So even really love to take my husband with me. He doesn't love thrifting. So I kind of like leave him out of it. But I always go alone. I need to focus. You know, like I said, I'm not super patient. So I like to go in and out, but I would be totally down to help them thrift. But for the most part, it's always.
So it sounds like if you go with other people, you're there to help style them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get into that trap too, but mostly I'm just there to be entertained and have a good time. The favorite thing to do when mm-hmm. I'm with friends is go look at records and books and read the titles out loud.
Yeah, I think if I, you know, I have gone a couple of times to, you know, like an antique store or a vintage store with a friend or multiple friends, and that's just like a different type of experience. You know, like if I'm on a mission, I prefer to be alone. If it's more of an activity, I'm down to go with other people where, you know, you're just kind of meandering and looking at all the like fun and wacky stuff. But if I, you know, if I've got my 30, 40 minutes to kill and I hit them, I'm like, just me.
I'm a very fast thrifter too. And I do these things that I'm sure everybody calls them this, but I call them thrift quickies. Because, oh, well, there.
Ooh, I've never heard that.
And it's where you know you only have like 30 minutes or whatever you're working with, and you have an exact plan of how everything's going to go. You're like, I'm going to the picture frames, I'm going to the housewares, and I'm going to the robes. You know, like this is where I'm starting.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I don't hit every section. In fact, most of the time I don't hit up every section. You just like can't in a short amount of time. So sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm not looking for clothes. I just want to hit up the housewares. You know, maybe the shoes if I'm feeling crazy. But so I'll really just be like, you know what? I got 30 minutes. I'm just going to do housewares.
Yep, that's it. That's a thrift quickie. And then if you're going to look at every rack, which occasionally I'll do, that's a slow thrift.
Oh, yeah.
Best or worst thrift story?
The worst thrift stories are usually when you pass something up and then you can't stop thinking about it. And it's always heartbreaking when that happens. And then you go back like the next day and it's gone. When that happens, I try to talk to my thrift gods and just be like, all right, it wasn't meant to be. But yeah, that is always such a bummer when you pass up something and then it's like still on your mind. And this actually happened to me. So a couple weeks ago, we were in Lake Tahoe on a ski trip with some friends and went to this vintage store. I found this probably, now that I think about it, one of the amazing thrift finds ever. It was this handmade red, white, and blue crocheted tank top. And on one side, it had a smiley face. And on the other side, it had a frowny face. It was just like it was the weirdest, most amazing thing I had ever found. And I tried it on and it was just really tight on me. Like it kind of fit, but it was just like basically suffocating my boobs. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get this. I put it back on the rack and left. And then immediately I was like, what am I doing? I just need to buy that and I'll give it to someone or I'll sell it or I'll do something with it, but it needs to be mine. So I went back the next day and it was still there. And the woman working at the counter was like, oh, I knew you were going to come back for that. So that was totally meant to be. And I ended up actually selling that piece to a friend of mine who is a blogger in New York. And she just sent me a picture today of herself in it. And she looks amazing. You know, it fits her perfectly. She styled it amazing. And I was like, this was totally meant to be. I was meant to find this for you. So that made me really happy. And then my other favorite thing is when I find inside like coat pockets or purses, like not weird stuff, but like old receipts. I once found an old opera ticket in a handbag. I found this old sales ticket, like a handwritten sales ticket from 1964 in the pocket of a jacket. And I love finding that stuff because it just reminds me and reinforces that piece of clothing like had a life before you. You know, like it had a owner and it had a home and that person had a life and a story. And that always just feels so magical to me and just reminds me of like why I love vintage clothing so much is that it holds so much history and just kind of magic with it.
Oh, that's a nice way to end the interview. I like that. I always love the best and worst thrift stories. The best stories are always kind of magical and the worst stories are hilarious. So it's a win-win, you know? I think it's a good way to finish. I would love to have a picture of your friend in the
tank top.
Yeah, in the emoji tank top. That sounds amazing.
I will send it to you.
And then I would love to have a picture of your awesome new closet. You haven't had a closet. You should share that with everyone.
So I'll just wrap this up with one last plug. So you can find me on Instagram and on YouTube at Clothes and Pizza. And by the time this episode airs, I should have my closet tour up on IGTV. So I've been posting kind of some more behind the scenes stuff on my IGTV channel. And my closet tour should be up by now. So anybody who's listening can go check it out.
I mean, how perfect is that? I just wanted a picture and I'm going to get a whole video.
Yeah, it was really fun. I think it's like 10 minutes long. I kind of like walk through all my organizing and show off a couple of pieces. So it was really fun.
Oh, I'm going to definitely watch that. I need to do one for my shoes. People are always asking me for a shoe tour. So you've inspired me.
Yeah, I would definitely watch that.
I'm going to do it. Will you tell them your blog address in case they want to find you just on the web?
Yes, it's very easy. It's just clothesandpizza.com. Perfect. And then I just want to thank you for coming on the show. I had so much fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This just felt like hanging out and talking with a thrifting BFF. So this was awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, I'll catch you online.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks, and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend. And as always, stay thrifty.